So this message is in two parts. This morning is the first part. But I'm going to recap what I talked about this morning in the context of this is a teaching message, and I'm preaching it, but it's kind of got points that are like stuff that you can consume and take and go away and think about. And it's so that the reason I'm preaching it is because I know that this church is about to move into an enlargement. You're about to get a lot bigger. And if you don't get bigger, you're going to find the stretch is a bit straining on you. And I don't like the thought of the church moving faster than its people or getting bigger than the people. And so I would always teach our people as we grew. And we grew from 50s and 10s and 50s to hundreds. And then we went to thousands. And now we're at 120,000 in all of our churches around the world. And so you got to say to people, hey, like when we were small, like 50 people, we all knew each other. And I could talk with you all. I knew all your names. But actually, when you get to 250, I don't know everybody. And I can't, because I got to delegate it out. And then our church grew. So I would meet people in the foyer, sometimes say, hi, how are you? It's so good to see you. You've been here before? Is this your first time? I say, oh no, Pastor, I've been coming here 14 years. I say, wow, I'm so glad you keep coming without me having to prop you up and keep contacting you, that your spiritual quality of life doesn't depend on contact with me, your pastor, because that's small church thinking. The big church thinking is quite okay with never being known and never being by the senior pastor, but you're known by your connect group. And that's how we can have very intimate growth while we're getting bigger. It makes it unlimited. You can have 100,000. In fact, I was very good friends with Dr. Cho, who had nearly 1 million people in his church. And you find there's no way we can all know each other as we get bigger. So for that to happen, I got to be a bigger person. I can't be insecure and needy. And so, oh, he didn't ring me this week. I wonder if he still likes me. He can't be like that. We're big. We're good. Everything's okay. And as we grew, my team and I got an incredible team of men and women right around the world. But we hardly ever talk. Like, it's not like we send texts every day and, you know, are they okay? Are they standing up all right? Does he still like me? Oh, I haven't heard from him for 3 days. It's nothing like that. We could not talk for 12 months. And we meet each other and say, hey, how are you? Let's get down to business. And we're good. So we've got longer cords in a relationship. So the reason I'm talking about this is because all of us need personally to become bigger in our own lives. And that bigness is going to be in our finances. So if you are in the realm of turning over 100 grand a year, get ready for turning over 1 million a year. And get ready for bigger stresses. Get ready for bigger challenges. Get ready for bigger thinking. Because a person who's living a poverty mindset all their life can't stand the thought of not eating everything on the plate. So they can't leave anything because that's just how they were brought up. Maybe you got to eat everything in your plate. Think of the starving children in Ethiopia. I don't know how that ever equated, but it's like, no, just leave it and walk away when you're done. And all kinds of little things like that. Like you just can't eat the crunchy bar out of the mini bar because it's $6. You'd rather walk 3 miles to the supermarket and buy it for $4. You just can't bring yourself to buy something that's good quality and going to last you 10 years. You buy something cheap and it lasts you 2 years. It's like getting a bigger brain to actually cope with a bigger life. So when Pastor John buys a digital screen that goes from that wall to that wall, you don't go, oh God, think of all the poor people we're going to offend. Because that's just crazy thinking. I'm going to show you how crazy that is. And we think extravagance on worship is a waste. That's what Judas thought. And we all know Judas. He was just a miserable, small-minded. He couldn't cope with that big thinking. I know a pastor who just spent $60 million on his new building. And I know I've spent millions on buildings. Our whole suite of buildings there with the school and the church is probably like $250 million. And people always say, like, they've said, oh, you do all this big building. And, you know, we get hammered and on the online sometimes. You could have used all that for the poor. And I always am tempted to say, well, how much have you actually given? They've never given a thing. They haven't given a thing. Not a thing. And I know that in those buildings and in the buildings that we've put up around the world, we have raised way more than that for the people in these countries. And we don't actually go out and feed the poor. I know that sounds risky. We help the poor become entrepreneurs. We have entrepreneur schools. We loan them $50 and they get a wheelbarrow and become a concrete mixer. And they get their own business. They walk around with dignity. And they pay the loan back. We've done this in Uganda. And people learn how to actually generate finance in their own world rather than just sitting around waiting for a handout all the time. We're the church. We build people's lives. And as we become bigger people in our own world, we can cope with so much more. And we'll get stretched. Oh, God, the way God's, I mean, you pray, God, make me a bigger person. So, one of the ways he does that is with trials. So you prayed for something, but it's taking too long. That husband is just, where is he? That breakthrough in my life, where's it going to happen? So God puts his foot in your heart. And he takes it and puts his hand on the top of it. And he stretches you. He stretches your emotions, your heart. You're, oh, God, I can't take this anymore. Oh, what are you doing? I want to pray. You're going to give me the, I should never become a Christian. I don't know why. I don't want, please, I'm praying. Oh, God, I can't take more. I think you can. No, no, no. Oh, God. Oh. You prayed for patience. You prayed to be bigger. Yeah, but I didn't mean like this. I don't want to go, no, 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 go through all these. Oh, please stop, God. Please, oh, God. Oh, backslide. You what? Yeah, I'm threatening you with a me backsliding. That doesn't really threaten me. But anyway, stay in there and we'll get bigger. Oh, God, I don't want any more of this. I think you can take a little more. No, no. Oh, I feel like I'm having a baby. Come, come, stretch marks on me, spirit. Surrender. Really? Oh, good. Okay, there you go. Boom, boom, boom. And you got this big old heart now. You used to come into church and go, hello, everybody. Hi. Nice to see you. And then you come, oh, I love you guys. I just love you all. Oh, let's believe God. We're going to see something big happen. And you say, if I can get through that, I can get through anything. Don't say that. Because he's got stuff up there called anythings. He needs no encouragement on these matters, people. Don't pray for it. They'll come with enough without your encouragement. Amen. So God is interested in making us bigger. Everything he does is big. Even when Jesus was here on earth, his miracles were big. Like the fishermen hadn't caught any fish all night. So Jesus says, go out. Launch out into the deep. Now, if Peter had gone out there, thrown out the net, and pulled it in, whoa, two fish. It's not like everybody's going to say, whoa, miracle. That's not really a miracle. That could have happened anyway. But when there's so many fish, it breaks the net. Yeah, that's a miracle. When you, excuse me, when you're at a wedding and they've run out of wine because the bridegroom was such a stinge, he only bought 6 bottles of Oxford Landing, Shiraz, cheap old bottom shelf wine, and they've run out. Sorry, Oxford Landing, but they've run out. And Mary says to Jesus, could you do something? And he says, oh, yeah, okay, let's fill those water pots with water. 6 water pots of, I think in the King James Version, is 30 firkins apiece or something. And it all ends up being 180 gallons. 180 gallons. 180 gallons of wine. What? That was awesome. And not ordinary wine. The best wine, people. Listen, Jesus changed that guy's life. He became a bigger person that day. That miserly bridegroom, because they take it to the MC and they say, this is the wine we're bringing out now. And the MC looks at the bridegroom and he says, whoa, you are some kind of gentleman. What a class act you are. Most people bring out the good wine first and then the bad wine when nobody can tell the difference. But you've left the best to last. That guy was nothing like that. Jesus was not over in the corner saying, no, it wasn't him, it was me, it was me. He wasn't claiming. He let this guy look a lot better than he actually was. And Jesus has done that for every one of us in this room. He's made you look a lot better than you actually are. You got born again and suddenly you care about the poor and you're building the church. I mean, once upon a time, you couldn't care. There's a phrase that comes to mind that you shouldn't be in church. Amen. You couldn't give a, yeah, no, you, about what was going on. You didn't care about that. But now, and everybody says, aren't you marvelous? You're giving to the poor, you're helping out all these things. You got to say, thank you, Jesus. If I'm thought of in any good terms, it's because he's done it. And he made this stingy bridegroom look so much better. His life was changed. Everybody wanted to invite that couple around for dinner from then on because they knew he'd turn up with a huge amount of wine and it was going to be the best quality. Even though he didn't want to, now he had to. But he got to enjoy it. He got a new reputation. And that's how Jesus transforms us, sometimes from the inside out, sometimes from the outside in. Miracles that Jesus, when he supplied bread and fish for, it could have been 25,000 people, there were 12 basketfuls left over. Well, what a waste of supernatural power that is. For goodness sake, Jesus, just provide what we need, not what we greed. I've had people say that to me. He supplies our needs, not our greeds. I'm going like, just because it rhymes doesn't mean it's good theology, people. My cup, Lord, thank you. Just a little, pour it in. That's enough, Lord, it's half full. Lord, it's full. Lord, it's flowing over. There's waste. You keep pouring. My cup overflows, people. God is an abundant God. He's come to give you an abundant life. And most Christians are so narrow-minded, they can see through a keyhole with both eyes. Just letting people grasp that idea. Because it's like, no. Even now, some of you are struggling. Because you've been taught that it's more pious and holy to be a small-minded Christian. To be poor and withdrawn and timid. But that's nowhere in Scripture. As soon as they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they became bold and strong. And then they said, do you know, how come these guys have got so much authority walking around like this? And then they remembered, these guys were with Jesus. And they say, you know, look, they walk like that Jesus guy. They were bold in life, people. God has not called you to be timid. Anything that intimidates you, it's from the devil. God did not come to make you timid. He came to make you confident and big and bold in this life, in Jesus' name. Go ahead, give the Lord a clap offering. Amen. So that's a recap, a little bit different to the introduction from this morning. But you will find that all through Scripture, God came into people's lives to make them bigger, to enlarge their life. In Genesis 9:27, the prayer was, may God enlarge Japheth. God was thought of as enlarging people. He did not bring you into this world and say, hi, Phil Pringle. Are we going to make your life such a mess? We're going to make you a loser, number one. Then we're going to just diminish you right down to a little tiny person that can be squashed like a bug. No, that's not God. He said, we've got Phil Pringle coming in the world. He's got my image in him. Let's make him big. Let's give him a big life. Let's give him an expansive heart. Let's make his vision huge. And then whatever he's got a vision for, let's do better than that. Last year, we had a plan to start 22 churches around the world, which is reasonable. We ended up starting 48. Yeah, that's good news, right? He does exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think, but you got to be doing something for him to do to above that. I mean, there's a guy called Jabez, and he called on the God of Israel, said, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. Make that prayer, friends. Even though you might be looking, you've gone over your rising years, and now you're in the plateau, or you're towards the golden years of life, you can still do great things. I had a young man in our church in Sydney. We had on a finance panel, and he said, my grandfather died at age 95. He retired at 65. He made far more money. I think he said 10 times more money after he retired before he died at age 95 because he learned how to invest in the Chinese market. He just put himself into a new education program. Rather than go away and do nothing, he now had an income source that was far higher than anything he'd had before, and he started to give, started to be a new source of blessing. And we can get excited in our old age, people. I mean, I'm 93, and so I am feeling very excited about the future in Jesus' name. God calls on us to enlarge our lives. Isaiah 54:2 says, enlarge the place of your tent. That means enlarge your thinking. Get a bigger vision. Get a bigger idea. I mean, you want to rent a room in the hotel for a night. God wants you to buy the hotel. You want to go on a cruise ship. God would like you to have the cruise ship. Amen. You run your own business and you think, oh, how could that ever be? Exactly. How could it ever be? There's a young man called William whose parents had emigrated from England to New York City, actually to the state of New York. Their farm wasn't working. They couldn't eat. They didn't have any money. So they sent William into the city to see if he could get a job and make some money. He couldn't get a job. He sat down on the side of the pavement by an old soap factory, and the offscourings of what they were making would flow down the drain. And he was sitting there, and he'd grab the offscourings of the soap, he'd clean it up, and he'd make a little ball of soap out of it. And he'd have these balls of soap on the pavement, and he'd sell them. An old sea captain came up to him, who was a Christian, and he says, son, what are you doing? He says, I'm selling these cakes of soap. He says, and he gave him a vision. He said, son, if you tithe your income in a church that you find to go to and you follow Christ, God is going to bless you. Someone has to be the greatest soap maker in New York City. Why not you? who's 15 years old. And now, you know when you're flossing your teeth? Donk, and it goes out on the window and the mirror. Ooh. And then you brush your teeth. And then you wash it. And you wash your hair with Colgate soap. That young man's name was William Colgate. He did become the greatest soap maker. And his company survives until today. He gave his tithe. But then a year following, he was earning so much, he gave 20%. Then 30%, then 40%. By the end of his life, he was given 100% of his income to the work of God because he had far more than he needed. You would be surprised at what God can take out of a small life and make it a big life. It's his nature to expand you and I into realms we never thought possible. Friends, I was never a leader in my school. I never led a cricket team. I never led a debating team. I wasn't a school principal, a school captain. I wasn't an assistant school captain. Never. Just a goofy artist who wanted to get high. You know? That was it. But God got a hold of me and changed my life. So suddenly leadership became like a gift. I knew how to lead. It wasn't me. It wasn't my upbringing. It was him. When he gets involved in your life, he can absolutely transform you and give you a bigger life than anything you could ever imagine. Don't be afraid to surrender everything to him. Christians should be big people with large attitudes, great dreams, big commitments, and tremendous capacities. If we're to have a big life, we need to grow within and without and become big people in Jesus' name. So I'm going to get down to these 7 points of what being a big person is. 7 characteristics of big people. Number one, big people are generous. Isaiah 32 verse 8, but a generous man devises generous things, and by generosity he shall stand. Proverbs 11, 25, the generous person will be prosperous. The definition of generous is high-born, characterized by a noble or forbearing spirit, magnanimous, liberal in giving, open-handed, marked by an abundance or copious proportions. The word generous stresses warm-hearted readiness to give, even more than the size or the importance of the gift. Bountiful suggests lavish, unremitting, giving or providing more than enough. We'd often have people come into our hospitality room and there'd be this whole plate of croissants and bananas and oranges and fruit and whatever. And they'd say, man, are we going to eat all that before we go into church? I said, probably not. I said, why would you buy that? Why would we buy flowers? You're going to eat them before you go into church? That's a waste, isn't it? They just look good. So does a full plate. It gives everybody a feeling like it's good. And for a man, it's important. First thing a man looks at when he comes in is opens the fridge door, right? Good. There's food in the house. Amen. He don't have to eat anything. It's just comforting to know. But if you come into a hospitality room and there's 3 crackers and some wrapped up cheese and 1 tomato, that doesn't feel good. You're worried about how that meeting's going to go, right? I am. And so when there's an abundance, you realize that, wow, this is just awesome. So men, don't complain when your wife puts out more than enough for the guests when they come round. And don't ask her how much it cost. Be abundant. Be generous. If you have people to stay, put all sorts of soaps and things in their room and help them in the guest room and leave food and fizzy bottles and all kinds of stuff. Just be that kind of person. You say, well, how's it going to return? I don't know. It might never come back to you. But it changes you. It changes you because you become that kind of person at work. You look after other people. It's not all about you. You got a river flowing out of you. Oh, this is so good. I mean, honestly, this is so good. I feel like baptizing you. Amen. Okay. So. Some of these front row people, I just need a bit of waking up, you know. People. Okay, here's a little guy. He's this tall. His name is Zacchaeus. Here's your ultimate taker. He's not just a, like, okay, the Roman Empire has occupied Palestine by military might. To keep all their soldiers paid, they have to collect taxes for on everything. The only way they can pay, and they've got a border that's getting bigger and bigger and bigger, so they need more and more soldiers. And they enlist these soldiers out of the prisoners that they take. I mean, they're not all Romans. They're captives. And they have to pay them to keep them online. And so they employed tax collectors in every city that they overtook, and they were hated. So Zacchaeus is hated by the local Jewish population because he's working for the Romans, taking taxes off them. And he doesn't just take what he is owed. He doubles it and puts the other half in his pocket. So he's a corrupt tax collector. But he's not just a tax collector. He's the chief tax collector. He's got a franchise of tax offices all around Palestine. And they're all corrupt and all taking more money. So everybody hates him. So when Jesus says, I want to come and have dinner with you, they'll go, Jesus, he's an enemy of the state. He's the number one criminal, for goodness sake. So yeah, I want to go have lunch with him. So he does. Now, Zacchaeus has got no idea how you treat a holy man. He's got his spa bubbling away. He's got his Rolls Royce ready to take Jesus anywhere he wants to go. He's got his three-story house, and he's got whiskey and gin. He's got the whole lot. He says, come in, Jesus. Apple juice? You want a spa? We could bubble away in the hot tub for a little while. You know, I mean, what are we going to eat? I've got chicken, no pork, Jesus. Of course, I do eat that, but not with holy men. You know, it's like, and then it hits him. He sees a vision of Peter coming in with that big catch of fish, and how he taxed him $20,000, when the tax was really only $5,000. He sees that little woman in his head. The big pile of sticks for firewood she's trying to sell in the marketplace. And he taxes her $500 when it was really only $25. And he sweats. All the color drains out of his face, and he remembers one after the other. And Jesus is just standing there looking at him. And suddenly Zacchaeus says, all right, I'll pay everybody back 4 times. What I stole from them, and then I'll give the rest to the poor. Instantly, Jesus came in his life. He was transformed from a taker to a giver, from a consumer to a producer. That would possibly be the most actual signature that Jesus has come into your life. That you've moved away from being, what can I get from everybody? How, what can I give for everybody? That's evidence Jesus is in your world. So revival would have come to that city because Zacchaeus is going around knocking on the doors. And here's the little old lady. She's, oh, Zacchaeus, did I not pay enough tax? He said, no, actually, you paid too much. And I'm giving you back 4 times what I took from you wrongly. She goes, why? You're such a criminal. You're such an evil little man. He says, well, I asked Jesus to come into my life. He says, Jesus? He changed you? Yeah, here. Here's the $20,000. Next door, bang, bang, bang. Here's 50. What happened to you, Zacchaeus? I met Jesus. All over the city, people are getting blessed. And then the poor, once he'd done all that, he went to the poor. And he said, I got money for you. And they said, why? I met Jesus. I met Jesus, and he's changed my life. Whew. My time is running out, people, and I'm up to point number 2. I'm going to just go through them quickly without any stories. It won't be as much fun, but it'll be like, I want to give points to you. I have a law with preaching. Never announce a principle without a story. So it's very hard for me, but I'll be disciplined. Amen. No, I won't. When a preacher says he's lying, you know what it means? It means nothing. When he says he's finishing, I'm sorry. When he says he's about to finish, it's like, yeah. Every time God gets involved in something, the place increases. In Acts 16, verse 5, it says, so the churches were being strengthened in their faith, increasing in number daily. That, Lord, is what I want. That, Lord, is what we want. And I believe the open door for the front of this church is in everybody's pocket. The front door of this church is in here. You can put on your social media platform what happened to you in church over the weekend. And we can all become witnesses for Christ. What a resource this church has in everybody's social media platform. You might say, well, I only got 30 followers. 30 followers, if you influence one of them to come to church, say, I had such a good time at church this week. And it's non-confrontational. So the churches grew daily, and that's how people could come to Christ every day. Number three, big people overcome. They overcome big challenges when life is against them. Winston Churchill said, a successful life is traveling from one failure to the next without a loss of enthusiasm. That is amazing. Because you're going to fail sometimes, but it's not bad for you. It strengthens your emotions to getting up again. You think, I can do it. I'm not going to give up. Offense and unforgiveness will stop you rising. But if you love, you won't let offense come near you. Love keeps no records of wrong. You believe the best about people. Amen. Number four, big people are unselfish. Jesus Christ is the supreme example of this. Mark 10, verse 45, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. The richness of your life is not in getting. It is in being a big person who gives away what you've got. Big people bless others rather than trying to bless themselves. Amen. I get it, Mr. Frecker. Yeah. He thought he could do it in the shadows over there and not be seen. Number five, big people praise, congratulate, and encourage other people. Rather than sitting around waiting, I did a good job. Is somebody going to say I did a good job? Tell others they're doing a great job. When Paul heard about the faith in the people at Rome, he told them, he wrote to them saying, I hear everywhere that people are talking about you, that your faith is spoken of around the world. You guys are famous. And he did that with every church. He said, I've been told that you love the brothers so much when they come to you. If you hear something good about someone, write a note to them and say, I heard this about you. Tell other people about the good stuff in their life. We live in a world that's full of gossip and slander. And people feed on it and make their spirit bitter. Why don't you change the cycle? So I heard some really great stuff about you today. That was amazing. Encourage everyone every day. You know why? Because every day people get discouraged. So speak life into other people. Be big. Be secure enough in yourself to say, that was phenomenal. If you're a leader and somebody is doing a great job, don't say, ah, what a great job you're doing. And you know you'd never have that position if it wasn't for me giving you the job in the first place. That's so naff. That's so naff, people. I mean, don't even do that. You guys are amazing. Say to people, I appreciate all the hard work you do. When you're coming through the gates here, when you're coming through the foyer and you see a volunteer, say, thank you for setting up the seats today. Thank you for arranging this place like it is. It's so nice in here. It smells good. Amen. There's nice lighting here. It doesn't all just happen. People have done that. Encourage them. Number six, I'm nearly done. People do big things. Big people do big things. Daniel 11, verse 32, the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. This church is about to carry out its greatest exploit in land and buildings. And you're going to be hearing about it from your pastor as the future unfolds. But this is going to be a big day for everybody, and all of you will become bigger people. I've seen it happen many times. I saw a young guy in our church who bought a company that was broke. He bought it for $2, and he turned it around. And then he did it with another company. And he stood on the stage one day with me, and he said, "Today I'm giving $250,000 to our building fund." I said, "Tell us the story." He said, "I was broke. I bought this company for $2. We were sitting on Apple boxes, and it was to do with a computer-driven program that ascertained how much money you were getting in dividends from your shares." And he set that up. It's still a very big operation today. And so it was just automated, the outpayment of dividends for people's shares. And then he sold that. And then I knew another guy who bought a car. I could tell you story after story. As soon as they started giving in the house of God at a bigger level than they had before, their whole world became bigger. And I go visit their houses today. I mean, they live in some of the best houses in Sydney. One of them became the best real estate agent for 12 years running each year in Australia. And he came in to our church in 1994. You know, remember receiving Christ on the altar call. He just became a real estate agent and then grew and grew and grew. Today he's, I won't even tell you what he's doing today. It's ridiculous. I'm so envious, so jealous. I think sometimes, oh God, if only I could have gotten to the business world. But you see, you got to follow your calling. And I love seeing other people do well in their life. They that know their God shall do great exploits. Number 7, I'm at the end. This is it. Isaac, you're Isaac, aren't you? And he's Isaac. How many Isaacs we got in here? That's it. You know the word Isaac means laughter. Does that mean when your mother saw you? No. When I saw my kids, I fainted. There are meant to be photos of our children coming into the world. No such luck. There's Chris doing all the hard work. And I'm meant to do, I had one job, take a photo. Thank God he didn't make me a doctor. I can feel the power of God in here. Feel the presence of the Lord in this place. But I am going to finish this message. Just one point. Big people have big dreams and see great visions. Joseph saved the world for his family. And it began with a dream from God that saw himself as a king and his family bowing down to him. He was a bit naive. He shared that with his family, and inevitably they didn't like it. It just sounded like a young upstart. But the fact is, it came to pass. It was a rough road. It was a rough road to that position, the fulfillment of that dream. But he got there. And you guys are in a season of fulfillment. No doubt about it. Dreams that you've had for many years are about to come to pass. This church is about to go to another level of height and size. The length, breadth, width, and depth and height of this church is about to be expanded on all levels. Don't think that God is not involved in the forward progress of this congregation. He is overseeing it, and he is wanting so much for his church to become bigger. It's not just the administration that needs, it's us, his people, that we can take more, cope with more, dream more, believe bigger, and act out our bigger dreams in Jesus' name. Let's not let age exclude us, but think about that grandfather who made more money in his 30 years of retirement than he did by far, like 10 times more than he did when he was a worker. Let's just stand before the Lord as we come to a close here. And I want to take just 2 minutes. I know we're over time. But if you would like God to enlarge you, why don't you come and stand down on this altar? Say, that's me, Lord. I want to be a bigger person. In Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, I praise you. Right here, right now. Lord God, your presence, your power, your Holy Spirit will rest on every life here. And that you will cause us, in the name of Jesus, to be enlarged. Let every heart here have a spirit of enlargement, of increase, and of growth. Father, let the power of God. Can you just start speaking in tongues? If you have that gift, if you don't, believe for it right now. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and empower you.